follow the one bound for Calvary, who now will follow and sing. Sing of the one who has loved us and taught us and fed us, part of the great I am. Who now will follow, follow the Lamb? One who has brought us from doubt into mystery, one who has answered the call. Lamb of God, Counselor, Shaper of history, living in love for us all. Who now will follow the one bound for Calvary? Who now will follow and sing? Sing of the one who has loved us and taught us and fed us, part of the great I am. Who now will follow, follow the Lamb, follow the Lamb, follow the Lamb, follow the Lamb.
Good morning. And welcome to worship on this, the last day of February 2021. It's good that we are here. Now, you may have noticed that I cleaned my office this past week. Wait, you can't tell? Well, clean is a relative term. Mostly, I kind of rearranged the clutter. Now, if you look at my shelves, you may think that I'm a hoarder, but I am not a hoarder. I just don't throw things away. I have file cabinets with 35 years worth of sermons in them. I'm sure that my children are going to really appreciate inheriting those someday. I have cards from dear members, weddings and baptismal photos, notebooks from the scholarship committee and the endowment committee, and assorted legal papers from an estate that I'm trying to settle. Now, on my shelves are golf balls. Every one has a story. Ukrainian eggs that have been a gift to me, a baseball from Safeco Field, autographs of the 1979 Seattle Supersonics, a 2,000-year-old oil lamp, and many mementos from 25 years of pilgrimages to the Holy Land. And of course, Martin Luther. What pastor would not have Martin Luther in their office, always ready to crack a few nuts? Don't worry, I did not get rid of any of these critical items, and I had fun looking at them. When I read our text for today, it encouraged me to put some things behind me. I threw out piles of papers. I threw out some old sermons that didn't work the first time. I threw out a few less than complimentary notes that I have been keeping around just to keep me humble. You see, sometimes we need to put things behind us in order to move forward into the future. Are there things in your life, unneeded baggage that would be better left behind? Speaking of going forward, Carl is waiting for us down the hall in the sanctuary at this time. He's going to lead us in our opening hymn, which is Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. So I'm going to get the candles lit, and we will see you inside for worship. Thanks for being here.
And it shall be given unto you. this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, give us the courage and the strength to follow Jesus to Jerusalem. Help us to endure this pandemic season with humility and kindness. And feel free, Lord, feel free to interfere, to change our course, to knock us down, that we may stand with you. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we prepare now to hear God's word, Carl and Ron are going to minister to us with a beautiful piece of music. Carl, Ron?
You are a part of everything that sees the ground and the sky. This is the love that planted the earth, the Spirit's reason why. So cherish health and know your mind, and let your heart be free to find your deepest wish, your greatest call. Within yourself you'll find them all. You're a part of everything that sees the ground and the sky. This is the love that planted the earth, the Spirit's reason why. So seek the truth, don't turn away from painful voices on your way. For truth unbinds and sets us free, but not before we sorrow see. You are a part of everything that sees the ground and the sky. This is the love that planted the earth, the Spirit's reason why. And know your God, for God knows you and holds you dear in all you do. In eagle's call, in silent prayer, in your old time you'll find her there. You are a part of everything that sees the ground and the sky. This is the love that planted the earth, the Spirit's reason why. And serve the world, its creatures all, mind where your words and footsteps fall. Let every species, every race, upon this earth find honor's place. You are a part of everything that sees the ground and the sky. This is the love that planted the earth, the Spirit's reason why.
Show up and shine is her motto. Christy Etzel has been showing up and shining for a lot of years around here. She's going to read our gospel text for us this morning. Christy, know that your family has been a gift to us. Christy?
The lesson today is from the 8th chapter of Mark. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Christy. Love to Mike, Ben, Marissa, Nick, and of course, Mr. South Whidbey Lucas. Did you hear that text? It was a stunning moment. Now, just previous to this text, Peter had just been praised by Jesus. Praised by Jesus in Caesarea Philippi for his bold confession. Now, one day, Peter would go on to become the first pope, but in Caesarea, he was praised by Jesus as the first to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. In our text this morning, he becomes the first disciple to be publicly rebuked by Jesus. And it was stunning. Jesus did not say, "Hold on, Peter, I think you have this wrong. You might want to rethink that." No, what he said was, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Do not get in my way. Do not deter me from my mission. Get behind me, you tempter. Behind me, where I will never have to look at you again or be bothered by you again. I'm not going back. I'm moving forward. Get behind me." You see, Jesus was headed for Jerusalem, and he was headed for a cross. Peter and the other disciples had no interest in a cross. The very idea of the cross was horrifying to them. And think about it for a moment. If Jesus went to the cross, where would that leave them? They had given up 3 years of their lives to follow Jesus. If it all ended in a cross, then what would that mean for them? The more I think about this text, I'm sure that Peter was just saying out loud what the others were already thinking. Forget the cross, Jesus. In fact, Jerusalem might be a little too dangerous for us right now. What do you say that we just go fishing together? Or maybe we could heal some sick people or find a dead body or two to raise. Maybe you could tell us stories, Jesus. Or turn water into wine. That would be good. Anything, anything but a cross. Peter was praised. And Peter was rebuked. My friends, my companions, on this earthly journey of doubt and faith, sometimes we need to be praised. And sometimes we need a good kick in the backside. A time for everything, and everything in its place. This rebuke, though strong, was not personal. It was not an attack on Peter's character or even a threat to his place as a leader among the disciples. And that is very evident as the story continues to unfold. Peter never lost his place. Peter never lost his calling. Peter would stay close by Jesus' side. He would become the rock on which the church would be built. Peter was rebuked, mightily rebuked. And then they move forward. No grudges were held, no hard feelings. Peter did not quit the Jesus movement to find another church. You see, the truth is, sometimes we need to be praised and sometimes we need a good, swift kick in the backside. Now, if we are traveling down the wrong road, if we are living in a way that is not healthy or helpful, then those who really care about us should tell us. They should not spare us the honest word or even a forceful rebuke. Love demands it. Love that is patient and kind, but love that rejoices also in the truth. And sometimes the truth needs to be spoken, and sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes we need to cut out the cancer in order to live. Love demands intervention sometimes. Now, I have been with families, my own family and others, during an intervention. The attempt to help a loved one to help themselves. The desperate attempt to put alcohol or drugs in their rightful place. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus praised Peter, and Jesus rebuked Peter. Everything in its place. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to let you get in my way. I am going to put you in your place, and that is behind me. It is not before me. Now, let's be very clear about this. Peter did not like being rebuked. None of us like being rebuked. But Peter got over it quickly. He licked his wounds, he learned his lesson, and he got on with it, with Jesus. None of us like to be called out for attitudes or behaviors that are unhealthy or detrimental to others. Being rebuked is not pleasant, but sometimes it's just what the rabbi ordered. Now, I'm not expecting this to be a popular message. After all, we live in a day when personal freedom has become more important than common sense or the common good. We live in a day when sacrifice for God or country or community is not particularly in vogue. We live in a day when everyone wants to do their own thing without much concern for how their exercise of freedom will affect others. No one can tell me how to live. The choices I make are my own. My life choices are none of your business. Now, that might be true if you lived in some far-off planet all by yourself. That might be true if you didn't have children or a spouse or friends or neighbors or weren't a part of society. The denial of our interconnectedness has led to a disturbing self-centeredness. It's led to the rapid decline of service groups and volunteerism, and the church is not far behind. Much of the political discord that we see today is a result of extremists on both sides who care more about their views than the common good of the country. They care more about being seen as being right than doing what is actually right. Everything in its own place. Sometimes we need to be praised. We need words of encouragement, words of forgiveness and hope. But sometimes we need a swift kick in the pants. We need to put things in their place. We need to call out the things that will keep us down. We need to put behind us anything and everything that will interfere with God's desire for us. And that desire is abundant life. That's all. God wants you to live in a way that is healthy for you. God cares about you, but it's not all about you. God desires for you to participate in the health and well-being of those who love you. God desires vitality for the larger community and creation care for that which God has entrusted to us. What is it that we want for our children or grandchildren? We don't care if they're the butcher or the baker or the candlestick maker. We just want them to be happy. We want them to be healthy, productive, good citizens. We want them to be humble and kind. And to that end, our children and grandchildren should be praised and encouraged and supported and prayed for. And on occasion, they're going to need a mild or a firm rebuke, a kick in the pants. Now, my father was the son of a sharecropper. He went to work on the farm in northern Illinois when he was 10 years old. He was a water boy, carrying water to the farmhands, seasonal workers, and migrants who worked long hours in the hot Illinois summer sun. After serving in World War II, he came home to be married and to support his growing family. My father would offer his three children praise not often, but sometimes, and certainly more often and more praise than he ever received growing up on someone else's farm. He also expected us to toe the line, to work hard, to make something of the incredible opportunities that we would be given. You see, he went to war in the Pacific, and then he went to work. College was not an option for him. But he would see that we had that opportunity. He was a firm but fair taskmaster. He told us, "I will not get mad at you the first time you make a mistake, but if you make the same mistake again, then you are going to be answering to me." Life is hard. We all need encouragement, grace, forgiveness, and hope. Life is hard for all of us. And sometimes we all need a kick in the pants to be put back on the road that will be less burdensome for all and more productive for all. Get behind me, Satan. I'm putting you in your place. Your place is behind me. You have no place in my forward path. You have no place in my future. But this text is not a text of judgment. No, it sits within a human story of reconciliation. This is not a rebuke that leads to a broken relationship. It is a rebuke that leads to a better relationship. Jesus holds Peter close. Jesus loves Peter even when he speaks out of turn, even when he denies Jesus. You see, the overarching theme of the Peter and Jesus relationship is one of reoccurring reconciliation. Peter is loved back into the fold over and over again. The one who sunk in the waters of the sea, the one who spoke when he should have listened at the transfiguration, the one who told Jesus to flee from the cross, the one who famously said, "I do not know the man." Through it all, he was never beyond the grace of God and the loving embrace of Jesus. He stumbled and he fell. He was knocked down and kicked in the pants. But every time he was helped to his feet by Jesus, embraced and reconciled. On display here, we see the unfailing, unwavering grace of God. The one who cares enough to call us to repent from hurtful living. The one who calls us to new and abundant life. And there's more. We also see the maturity of the bumbling disciple, Peter. Peter displayed amazing maturity. He would take a rebuke and he'd keep right on ticking. Now, there are many in our midst who prefer to run in the other direction when someone they love tries to point them to a better way. Their egos or insecurities prevent them from listening to others, from making the positive changes that will make their journey better. And finally, this text offers us an opportunity to take inventory. Everything in its place. Take inventory. Do it today. Are your chosen life priorities reflected in your current life choices? Are there things before you or alongside of you that should be put behind you forever? Do you need to look alcohol in the eye and say, "Get behind me, Satan"? Are there perhaps people or habits or addictions or websites that need to be put in their place? Get behind me, Satan. Take inventory. Call out those things that drag you down. Cut out those things that are trying to destroy your life. Cut out the cancer. Let go of the shame. Learn to forgive by putting your offenders behind you. Don't take them with you as you go forward. Carl is about to sing for us. It's a Mark Pearson song, Let Love Go Forward. Let love go forward. Put everything in its place. Let love go forward. Take the hand of the one who loves you enough to rebuke you and loves you so much that he will never leave you alone in the dust of despair. Let love go forward. A new beginning. A new beginning starts today. Amen.
Love is a candle that lights up the night. Love is a star that we follow to daylight. Love is a lighthouse that leads us safely home. The surest light we'll ever know. Let love go forward from this time and place. Shine its healing light in a gentle embrace. Let love go forward from this place and time.
Thanks, Carl, and thanks to Mark Pearson for blessing us with that song and so many others. Our love to you, Mark. We lift our hearts now to God in prayer. The petitions will have a sung response. Hear my cry, O God. Let us pray.
After each sung petition, we will sing the refrain.
Hear my cry, O God, Listen to my prayer, listen to my song, singing praises all along. I call on you again, for you have called me friend, you have called me friend, so I call on you once again. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer, listen to my song, singing praises all along. With a weary heart, I feel so far apart, feel so far apart, with a weary, weary heart. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer, listen to my song, singing praises all from harm, shelter me from harm. Hold me in your arms. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer, listen to my song, singing praises all along.
Hear our cry, O God, our cry of thanksgiving, as we see so many hands, hearts, and dollars lifting up the people of Texas following the recent weather challenges there. Give them strength. Hear our cry of sorrow as we bear in mind the 500,000 of your children in this country and countless souls beyond our borders who have died of coronavirus and related illnesses. Comfort those who remain as they struggle to rebuild their lives. Hear our cry of joy as the pace of vaccinations accelerates, hastening the days of reunions far and near. We give thanks for the scientists and medical workers and all who assist in this cause. And hear our cry of hope, hope that we can calmly hear and gracefully respond to voices of rebuke, of guidance, of promise, and of love. And those voices may guide us to your promised abundant life in our homes and in our communities. Hear our cries of healing, healing of body, of mind, of soul, and of spirit. Healing of relationships, of cooperation between nations and factions in conflict, so that all of your people might thrive. Hear our cry as we pause to breathe and gather strength for the journey, knowing that together, with each other and with you, we can be a voice of hope and light to the world.
I call on you again, for you have called me friend, you have called me friend, so I call on you once again. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer, listen to my song.
People say, Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Please share a sign of peace and greeting with someone today. Drive away a little bit of this pandemic loneliness by connecting with someone today.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Just a few announcements today. Every Wednesday during this Lenten season, you are going to be receiving video devotionals and a beautiful music selection from the church office. This is in place of our usual gatherings. We're going to make it through this Lenten season and this pandemic together. Easter is on April 4th this year, and we are going to gather in the parking lot for worship services that morning. We'll have more information for you as we get closer to Easter. I'm going to call on our Director of Christian Education, Deacon Amy, at this time. Deacon Amy, a few announcements for us.
Thank you, Pastor Jim. A lot of great things happening with our education programs at Trinity. Adult education meets at 9:30 every Sunday morning on Zoom. This Sunday, Pastor Jim will be speaking about reflections as we approach our 52nd week of virtual worship. Next Sunday morning, Linda Neverman will be hosting a Bible trivia. Check it out and see what you know. If you would like to be on the Zoom email invitation list, let us know in the office and we'll be sure to get you signed up. Our Sunday school class will meet on Zoom at 11 o'clock this morning, and next Sunday, confirmation class meets on Zoom at the same time. Every Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, our middle school students meet on Zoom for fun and games. Again, if you'd like to be on any of those lists, please contact us in the church office. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy, and thank you all for your support this past year. Thank you for supporting us and the church staff, for supporting the ministry of Trinity Lutheran Church. We are going to dedicate our gifts now and our very lives to God as we sing together, as Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Now, as you go forth or as you stay home, receive the benediction. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn, Lord of All Hopefulness. Hopefulness is a sign that we believe God is working in the world and hopeful that better days are just around the corner.
peace in our hearts, Lord, at the end of the day.
Now, until next time, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. We are one day closer. Thanks be to God.
Faith, hope, and love. This is what we long for. Faith, hope, and love. This is what we need. Faith, hope, and love. This is what we cry for. Oh, teach us how to live. Trust in the truth. This is what we long for. Trust in the truth. This is what we need. Trust in the truth. This is what we cry for. Oh, teach us how to live. Patience with
patience with
this is what we long
patience
for.
Patience with
patience with
patience with
this is what we need.
Patience with
patience with
patience with
this is what we cry
patience
for.
With
oh, teach us how to live.
Cry for,
oh, teach us how to live.